Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we will conclude our thoughts that I've been wanting to share with you on labor to enter into rest. That sounds like a contradiction of term because, as I said, labor, by definition, it means to exert one's powers of body or mind, especially with painful or strenuous effort. And that's what the scripture tells us to do, to labor, to enter into his rest. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the Sabbath rest. Where did the very concept of the Sabbath come in? Well, it starts very early in the book, in the second chapter of Genesis. And I'd like to read, starting at verse 1, because there, in chapter 2, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Verse 3 says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, obviously, our God, who is all-powerful, omniscient, he lacks nothing. He was not tired. He did not need to rest because it was such an exhausting task creating all the heavens and the earth. However, he laid a pattern for us, and we know that's certainly one of the commandments that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. God specifically commanded his people under the old covenant, they were to revere and hallow the Sabbath day. They were to do no servile work. They were to make it separate and make it different from all the other days. And they were to remember the Lord and were to rest, and not only them, but their servants, as well as even their animals. They weren't to work their animals. And this was a principle God was wanting to impress upon his people. In the third chapter of Genesis, verse 8, we see that Adam and Eve, they had sinned, and it says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What we see here is that sin had now entered into that perfect place of the garden of the Lord, and sin entered into mankind. Adam and Eve were our first parents, and as a result, they were separated from God. We see that God blessed the seventh day. He rested. He blessed it, and it says that he sanctified it. He hallowed it. He made it holy. He made it separate. And Adam and Eve actually had a responsibility in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 15. Let me read that. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And here we see that by that command, he basically gave him work to do. He wanted him to till it, to tend it, to work and to watch it, to cultivate the soil, to take care of it. And this was the work that God had given to basically Adam and Eve when Eve was created also, but it was a very pleasant kind of work. And this is the kind of work that we'll be doing in the ages to come. If you've ever read accounts of those that are in heaven, they're not idle, but they're involved in a very satisfying kind of work. We don't know all the dimensions of it, but it will be like the work that is involved when Jesus returns. There will be a literal physical kingdom. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And we know that the curse will be lifted, that men will beat their swords into plowshares, or in all the weapons of war will be done away with, because there will be no war. There will be perfect peace. The curse will be lifted, and the earth will return to that paradise-like type state that it was in the very beginning. And Jesus will be acknowledged by all the nations of the earth, and it will be a beautiful, beautiful time. There will be work, but it will be devoid of, if you will, labor, that kind of exertion of powers physically and mentally that represent painful or strenuous effort, which is what labor is. And so, beloved, as I shared in Genesis, the third chapter, once sin entered in, there was a separation from God, which is only restored when mankind, every individual man or woman, is able to accept Jesus. There is then a restoration of fellowship. But, beloved, I am sure you've experienced that before you were saved, or even, beloved, when we are saved, our carnal nature is a very hard taskmaster. When we are walking in the flesh, it's impossible to please God. And when we're in the flesh, according to Galatians, there's envy, there's strife, there's every evil work. And that's why I've been taking the time to share passages out of Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the third chapter, where Hebrews 4:11 says very clearly, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Other translations put it this way: give diligence to enter into that rest. Earnestly strive to enter. Make every effort. Exert ourselves to enter. Let us be eager to know this rest for ourselves. Beloved, while it comes to this present age in which we're living, the ages to come, even the millennial reign, the curse will be lifted. There will be no war. There will be the King of Righteousness ruling in all of his glory. But in this time in which we're living, we still have enemies. Death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. But for the children of God, God's word counsels us that we need to exert effort. We need to labor to come into that rest, lest we fall into a place of unrest through unbelief. Because regardless of the challenges or trials we face, we can experience them. We can go through anything because there is a rest to the people of God. And regardless of what the enemy might throw at you, regardless of the challenges that life brings, regardless of the seasons of our life, sometimes there's seasons of want, seasons of need, we can rest in that place of faith. And that's, beloved, is what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to come into, that regardless of what our life brings, there is a place in God, a place of faith, that we know that God is for us, who can be against us, and that God will make a way in the wilderness. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Well, that is basically the scriptures that I've wanted to share with you. But now, as this broadcast would come to a close, I just want to spend a little time in ministering, and I want to start by let's praying together for each other, that we can do exactly as the scriptures say. Father, we come to you and we've shared the scriptures, and scriptures that exhort us specifically in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Father, we don't want to be as the children of Israel, who didn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief, and they died in the wilderness. Lord, we want to be as Joshua, as Caleb, full of the faith of God, knowing that there may be giants in the land, but we are well able to take the land. And so, Father, we come to you now and we repent of all unbelief. We turn away from every lie the enemy would bring against us that we cannot obtain, that we can't have that peace, that we can't see our loved ones saved, that we can't see God's provision in our lives. Father, we repent of all unbelief and we thank you, Lord, that you have given us faith, and we confess and declare right now for every situation in our lives that we have the faith to be victorious. We have the faith to overcome, and we receive that blessing, that assurance right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, I do not want you to be burdened. Does not my word declare to take my yoke upon you and learn of me? For I am meek and lowly in heart. Cast all of your cares upon me, for I care for you. Therefore, let me take the burdens you've been struggling with, for I would lift them off of you right now. And I exhort you, my beloved, to trust in me, to see with the eye of faith, to see that victory that has been promised to you in my word. Lay hold of those promises, beloved. Do not let the enemy cause you to fear or be dismayed, for I am your God and I am with you, and I will make a way for you in the wilderness. I will make a way through the flood and through the flame. That flame shall not kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God. I am with you, and I shall fight for you, beloved. Rest in me. Yea, enter into that rest, and know that I will not fail nor forsake you, says the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be concerned because you are with us to help us every moment of our lives. And we thank you for it, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, thank you for being with me on this broadcast. And we'll see what the Lord has for us next time as we gather together at this same time. Thank you for listening. And I do encourage you, if you have needs, do write, share those requests. And God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.